it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. So apparently the Lions don't suck. Look, they were bad in week one. There's no doubt about it. And it's okay to be disturbed by what you saw. But the season wasn't over. At this point, I am not reserving a trip to Levi's Stadium for a Super Bowl either, but far more encouraging. And look, you know, if you look at the last three seasons, this one included, there's far more evidence that the Lions are what they were yesterday than what they were in week one. I think it's easy to project right now after two games that this could be a fist fight, Lions and Packers right to the end. You don't want to bury Minnesota. You do want to bury Chicago, but it's probably even early to do that. But Detroit and Green Bay, you know, Green Bay won round one. Bravo, well done. And you look great. Packers, you look great. They have to go on the road, too, and play tough teams. And we'll see how they respond. Detroit responded. That's one of the absolute cores to their success. One of the things that they do better than most is they respond. Dan Campbell talked about it in his postgame yesterday. We'll talk about it with Jared Goff this week. That's why they haven't lost in a season back-to-back games in years. And, you know, they used to, it's just still hard to believe that this is the Lions product, but it is. And that was good and very, very encouraging. They ran the ball behind that offensive line and they protected the quarterback with that offensive line. And defensively, they took it away. And these are things that they took it away with three turnovers and two turnovers on downs, including stuffing back-to-back quarterback sneaks on third and one and fourth and one. That series, by the way, first down was a 9-yard gain.
Yeah.
And then they turned it over on downs, the Bears did. So, look, the defense and the offense did some critical, showed that they're capable of some of the critical components of being a successful team in the NFL yesterday with their play on the offensive line, which is why you made them champ of the weekend, and the defense's ability to take the ball away.
I suspect that this year, at some point this season, we're going to see them lose back-to-back games, even though they haven't done it in like 2 years, just because the schedule is that way, and just it should happen at some point. But it didn't happen this week. And I think that goes to – a lot of the credit goes to what they're doing from the top down. Mm-hmm. I think it speaks to the coaching staff led by Dan Campbell. But I think it also speaks to the players that they're getting in. It's not just guys that love football and tough guys that grit and all that. I mean, guys have to be coachable. They have to be, you know, willing to listen to criticism and apply what's being told to make themselves better. And I think that's a big thing. So when you hear each year when we go through the draft and so-and-so player came to visit, I think it matters. You know, when they sit down and talk to these guys mm-hmm. at the combine or in meetings leading up to the draft, all that matters, those conversations, because they want to have guys that are coachable, not just the guy that's got the most talent in the world, because if you got all that talent in the world, but you're not coachable, you're not going to realize your potential. They want guys that they can get that and beyond.
248-539-9797. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. John is next here on 97.1. Hello, John.
Hey, fellas, shout out to this show. It's my favorite show. I listen all day long on Odyssey.
Well, thank you, John. We appreciate that. Where are you?
Oh, it's my Sarasota, Florida.
Nice. All right, cool. Thank you.
The macho man.
Oh, see, that's where you and I walk in lockstep except for wrestling, Gator, which leads me into my shout out. You're a metal guy, and I bet you're the one who does the best bumper music, or is it Kang? Because it can't be Doug, is it?
Well, it's not Doug. It's not me. It is Kang.
I'm messing with you, Doug. You're kind of nerdy.
That didn't really help. Yeah,
I know. No, that just comes. They come up randomly in the bumper music. I have nothing to do with it, Kang. I don't know if you have anything to do with it. It just comes randomly. But whoever puts them in is.
Well, you're the only one that does metal. so, like, almost every time. And I know all the songs. So, listen, thank you. And shout out to Kang. You guys just entertain me. Look, I, too, would like to say that my chump softly is Amon Ra St. Brown. You know, that I totally bought that, Doug, and I know you did, too. I thought he was hurt.
Why are you messing with us, Amon Ra?
Go ahead.
We just dealt with Scooble, right? And then you see this, and I look, Derek may be okay. We hope he is. But when I saw that, I'm like, whoa. And then he's messing with us?
Yeah.
Not cool.
Some of those after or post-play celebrations, they're just getting a little too much for me. But I'm an old guy yelling at the clouds, you know, sometimes when it comes to those things. So, but one more. And I got to take up for my boy. My champ is, again, there's all kinds of them. But Jeff Rieger, who I don't always like everything he says or does, but gol darn it, he came at Ben Johnson because Ben Johnson asked for it. We aren't the one that did the backhanded comments, heading out of town, and he said the quarterback instead of Jared. And, you know, I mean, I just think Ben's a little too high on his own supply, if you will. You know what I'm saying? I think he's, I don't know. I don't like him. But I do like my man, Jeff Rieger. I watched all you guys come up from Ann Arbor Talk Radio, and you're just the best, and you've become the best pros. And Gator, you too. I didn't quite follow all of your career, but I think you've been around 20 years. So good on all of you.
Appreciate it, John. Thank you. Rieger definitely made it uncomfortable for Ben Johnson.
That he did.
248-539-9797.
In fairness, he makes it uncomfortable for all of us.
Let's go to Brian in Detroit. You're next. What's up, Brian?
Hey guys, how you doing?
All right.
I like to say that my champ is Pat McAfee for his take on the coverage of the Charlie Kirk situation. And also, my chump is me for doubting the Lions. They looked amazing yesterday.
How heavy did you doubt them? What were you thinking this time a week ago?
Well, I was thinking about 9 wins because I knew that. Frank Ragnow just leaving but you know, like retiring all of a sudden. That really kind of put us in the clutch. And after seeing that first game, I was like, oh, man, maybe this is worse than I thought. I went down to, like, maybe 5 wins or whatnot. But after seeing that explosion yesterday, you know, looking forward to that Ravens game and then knowing that they don't really have a stellar secondary like that, you know, I'm really looking more optimistic. And, you know, yeah, I really did jump the gun there, like a lot of other people. So, but, yeah, I'm looking up now. But, yeah, as far as I'm getting the credit, that he's due. I'm really, really passionate about my Detroit athletes getting the credit that they deserve, you know, when they're good and whatnot, and, you know, getting noticed nationally. But, you know, I remember in 2003, I believe, when he was snubbed for the Pro Bowl. Then after that, he kind of bought out, like, okay, well, then watch this. Then I believe he got named first team all pro, right? And isn't that kind of like being called the best wide receiver in the league, in a sense, in like a way?
You just don't hear it, though. You may get the accolade after a season, and it's in from a, you know, from the AP or whatever it is, but like you don't hear the talking heads speak glowingly about him like they do of a Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase.
But
I think after a game like last night, where you end up 3 touchdowns in a game, and it's his first 3 touchdown game, that's going to change the narrative.
Yeah, I understand that.
He did, but though. He did get named first team All Pro. That's a valid point.
2 seasons in a row, mind.
Yep.
I think that people had that 4th-round pick thing in their head, like in the back of their mind still. And then when you see Justin Jefferson making all these spectacular catches and everything, you know, all that stuff is. So,
yeah.
My other point was that despite all of this, I still think he's undervalued. That's what I said. It may sound crazy, but I think he's actually underrated. Even though people think he's a top 5 receiver in the game, I still think that they're underrating him. Might be the best in the game.
248-539-9797. I mean, you know what part of this is? Part of it is when you win a Super Bowl and you're a big reason why, the public perception of you changes. If you are a critical component on a Super Bowl winning team, the public perception changes, and they haven't done that yet as a team.
Well, neither the Vikings or the Bengals.
That's true. That's true. But if anything, that he might be coming up short, if he is coming up short, and again, who cares? Who really cares? But if he is coming up short, I think that could be the game changer for him. But, you know, Colin Bryant was right. I mean, two-time All-Pro. That's not Pro Bowl. All-Pro is these are the best players of their position in the game. And he does get that acknowledgement. More of your phone calls and feedback coming up. More of your Champ and Chum votes on a Victory Monday. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So that's Brian Branch. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1 Ticket.
So they felt kind of betrayed.
Well, I mean, whatever you need. I could see why when he left and they kept hearing over and over and over that it was him. He was the reason that you would take it personally. And that's okay. And hey, look, it's worked for them, man. Worked for them yesterday. 52 they put up. 248, 5.
I'm sorry, what was that?
They put up 52 points.
They did what?
52.
Well, there must have been a lot of defensive touchdowns.
No. Just executed.
Was right the offense good?
Right down the field and scored. Offense did a great job.
Wow, I really kind of find that hard to believe. Wait a minute, let me just confirm this. First time in franchise history, the Lions have produced a game with 500 total yards, 5 passing touchdowns, and 2 rushing touchdowns.
Hmm.
Oh, wait a minute. That sounds like it's impressive.
There you go. Speaking of impressive, the Kansas City Chiefs are 0-2. Let me take you back to bold-ass predictions.
Okay.
Do you remember Kang? He had one bold-ass prediction. And his bold-ass prediction was the Chiefs will miss the playoffs.
He's celebrating already back there.
Yeah, he kind of was. Yeah, he kind of was.
I saw Brandon that Doug was acknowledging me. That's
no,
all.
No. We all saw what you did.
Yeah, I did this because Doug acknowledged me. Yes, Doug. Yay.
I acknowledged you a lot, but that's a hell of a bowl. That's a DAP.
Doing this, you know, shaking your arms left and right, that's not the humble move. The humble move is like heartfelt.
Yeah, right? That's right. He is kind of right.
Thank you so much.
You got to work on your nonverbal. Yeah,
blank being humble, man.
It's not over. Right?
It's definitely not over. But I will say this: the last time the Chiefs were 0-2, 2014, they did not make the playoffs.
Well,
I was watching bits of it last night. Mahomes had overthrown Thornton on a wide open play. I'm like, wow, is this it? Are we seeing the end of Patrick Mahomes? And then, like 3 plays later, he throws a similar bad deep pass for a touchdown to Thornton. I'm like, all right, maybe not yet, but I think they're. There's some cracks in the armor there, for sure. Look, you can't be great forever.
No.
You can't. And they've had an amazing run, but they've also had a bunch of injuries that kind of decimate that team. They have to rebuild like everybody else, hang another year on the quarterback who's dealt with injuries himself. It's destined to come down at some point, but you can still play at a very high level. It'll be interesting to see the rest of the way if that is a playoff team or not. But they're nowhere near as formidable as they used to be.
They don't appear to be. Mark is in Detroit next year on 97 on the Ticket. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
What's up?
Hey, I got to get in my champ and chump.
Okay.
My champ is got to be Jared Goff. Now, he's not known for being athletic as far as running, jumping ability. But for him to have the QB vision to see the Detroit Lions leap section with the kids and try to jump up there and make it in there. I mean, that almost put tears in my eyes, him interacting like that.
He was rather critical of his own ability to make said leap. We'll probably talk to him about it this week when we speak with Jared on the show. That was cool, and so was the 17 consecutive pass completions.
16, I think.
Was it 16? I thought it was 17.
So that was great.
The only thing that stopped them is they took him out of the game because the lead was so big.
That's right. He was the only quarterbacks in NFL history to complete at least 75% of their passes in four straight games with 25 attempts or more? Jared Goff and Tom Brady. That's it.
Interesting.
He's been on some kind of heater.
And my chump would be Sharon Moore, even though he was suspended, but I feel like him not taking Bryce Underwood off the leash, letting him run and throw cost us a game. And we seen, even though it's not the same opponent, but we at least felt like we would have had a chance if he'd have been running and throwing. So I got to chump Sharon Moore for not taking him off the leash early and letting him at least attempt to learn the hard way.
Did you have 11:21 as your time, Doug?
Finally.
Yeah. The first comment we've had about college football, an hour and 21 minutes into the show, and it was exactly what I was waiting to hear at some point.
They finally, dude was two games into his career. It's remember the work in progress thing we said about the young O-line?
Yeah.
It was a soft launch of Bryce Underwood. Got it. But they're giving him more on his plate every week. More on his plate. If they played Oklahoma in week three, it might have been different. I mean, the good news is in this day and age of college football, that one loss doesn't kill their season.
It does not.
But yeah, I mean, they themselves in the building, I think, were like, yeah, maybe we should have. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of season to be played, and each week he's getting more on his plate.
Did it look like it opened up a little bit more on Saturday? Yeah. I mean, it helps you're going against Central, right?
Yes.
But he was pretty dynamic when you run for over 100 yards and you throw for 270 or whatever it was, and all those touchdowns. It was impressive. The young man has a ton of talent.
I was out and about Saturday night watching college football, and somebody came up to me and said, God, they finally took the leash off Bryce. And I'm like, finally? It's his third career game.
But you know this was going to happen.
Yes, I knew it was going to happen. And I think they'd tell him, the truth is, I think in the building themselves, they'd say, man, maybe we should have. But they did what they thought was best for that game against that coach and that defense. They were perhaps wrong. Adjustments could be made, lessons can be learned, and you can be better moving forward. And they don't want to get him hurt now. And he probably were a couple of occasions where perhaps a slide was appropriate, because it's not worth the extra 2-3 yards early in a game, and you're probably going to win to take unnecessary hits. But yeah, he is talented. Leo is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Leo.
Hey, guys. Long time listener. Listen to you guys every day.
I've
got a champ and a chump. The champ is the O-line. Last week, I was freaking out. I said, there is no way they're going to fix this in a week. And Dan said, it's just basic fundamentals and communication. And darn, he was right. So, champs to the O-line. They did a great job.
Yep.
Chump are Lions fans who think they have to use F-bombs in front of families and little children. How can they do that? This is just unbelievable. These are family
events. There's little kids, and I know you guys have kids. I would not my kids have to listen to that. And I don't care who you're doing it to. You can boo, but why do they have to use slurs or cursing like that?
It happens at every game.
Yeah.
I mean, this is nothing new. I don't want to exonerate people or just blow it off, but it really is something that happens at every game.
So it's interesting because I know people do get offended and there are kids there and I have my kids with me and stuff like that. And I get it. I always use those opportunities and just say, kids, this is not who you need to be. And I don't want to hear you using that language. Some people do. I personally thought it was a bit much because to me, Ben Johnson was part of our success. And it's really, really cool that he was so good. He got another opportunity and Aaron Glenn got another opportunity. And I don't begrudge them for doing what's in the best interest of their careers and their families. But I've taken the approach that when my kids are there for stuff like that, I don't need them to not hear it. I need to tell them why I don't think it should be done. Personally, would I ever say F Ben Johnson and chant it loud? No, not my thing. I don't think it's necessary, and I do see the good that he did here. And there's a classier way to handle it. Booing him is part of what he expects. It's fair game. I agree with the listener there. It just, that's not my deal. You, not you either, right?
No, it's nothing that I never really engage in that kind of stuff.
If you're going to take your kids to a place, though, where stuff is, language like that might be used, just explain to them why you don't think they should do the same. I don't think, though, that that should be a shield that is used. You can't do that when there's kids there. You know, it's a sporting event. In sporting events, it's people yell stuff, and kids are going to hear it.
Well, that they do, and if you do, you run the risk of getting kicked out of the game for doing.
You do.
So do it at your
own. I mean, Kang, you got two small daughters, right?
As far as I know.
If you had them at the game, and I mean, how would you handle it? Would you be mad at the fans, or would you just say, let's teach the kids something here?
Well, I wouldn't be happy with the fans. I mean, I can imagine someone looking at my daughter in the eye going, blank Ben Johnson.
You know, like, that'd be weird. Look her in the eye.
Oh, man, fans are crazy. I would just tell them, hey, cover your ears, and then, you know, teach them, hey, we don't use that language. It's going to happen at games sometimes, and you move on.
They're going to hear it eventually.
Yeah, for sure.
That is Jared Goff on their ability to respond. 248-539-9797. All of our football coverage today is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries, yet forcing him to fight and protect the empire he has built. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
I start watching it again. I saw the first few episodes of it. I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like a fish out of water type story of a mob guy. Mob guy in Tulsa.
You enjoyed it?
I did, yeah. I thought it was pretty good, and then I stopped watching it. I need to pick it back up. It's a good series.
Let's get back to your phone calls. We go to Joe. You're next on 97.1. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
I got my champ and chump. My champ is the Lions' offense, but it's pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. My chump, the Lions' defense, were giving up 21 points to a third-tier quarterback.
I mean, they did create three turnovers and two more turnovers. Two more turnovers on downs. He said third tier.
That's a lot of points to give up to that quarterback and that team.
I mean, one of them was kind of irrelevant, but okay. Your vote counts, and we'll put you down.
Okay. Thanks for talking to me, guys.
See ya.
He's going to chump them.
I thought the defense, if they...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hold opponents at 21 points a game.
They're going to win games.
Yep. But he's going to chump them for that performance. I mean, like I said, his vote counts.
Hook him.
21 points a game would rank them in the NFL. Now he thinks they're a third tier. He's a third tier quarterback. That would put him just outside the top 10.
I think last year they gave up, 20 points a game?
The Lions defense.
Yeah, what did it rank last year? Let's not look at things after 2 weeks and start doing statistics. You know, what would 20 points have done last year? 21 points.
Sorry. Dude, give me a second here to bring up the correct stat. 21 points a game would rank you in the top 10 defensively. Last year, they gave up 20.4 points a game.
So
I'm sorry, 20.1. But, you know, I mean, I don't think 21 points is an astronomical total. One of the touchdowns scored late didn't really matter. I mean, I can sit here and say I'd like them to do better defensively, and I think that's an okay argument. But I also would not chump. Chump implies to me that you really, really were a letdown.
Bears did in the first drive what they did in the first drive last week. They marched right down the field and they scored. 8 plays, 74 yards in 3 minutes and 43 seconds. Then the Bears went and punt. I think it was 3 and out. They punted on their second drive. The third drive, again, there was a fumble that Brian Branch forced that was recovered by Jack Campbell. Mm-hmm. Their next drive, the fourth drive, resulted in a fourth down stop. And then the fifth drive was an interception. Still want to chump the defense?
He does. Okay. Well, he did.
He did.
All right, let's go to Jake next on 97 on the Ticket. Hi, Jake.
Hey, guys. Hope you had a good weekend, and welcome back, Kenny. So a couple things. I'll be quick about it. I have a champ and chump. My champ is the same as last week. It's going to be Tesla for another amazing circus catch. The kid's going to be amazing for us going forward. My chump is Amon-Ra St. Brown for scaring the crap out of the entire Lions fan base.
Not fair.
And then I just had a question about the your guys' concern about the Tigers. Only taking, what did they take, 2 out of 3 in Miami?
Yeah. Took 1 out of 3 in Miami, right?
Or sorry, one out of three. Yeah, sorry. So with 12 games going, or 12 games remaining, a big series coming up with Cleveland, obviously, with them, I think, 6.5 behind. Is there any concern about Cleveland possibly catching up to us? Or do you think we're good going in with, you know, Boston, and then I think we have Atlanta?
My concern is if Cleveland sweeps the Tigers, then yes. But I don't expect that to happen. They've got it set up now where it's going to be Mize, Flaherty, and Scooble pitching against Cleveland's pitchers starting on Tuesday night here in Detroit. And, you know, every win counts as two for the magic
our
number, magic, and it's at 7 right
magic
now.
Magic number is what, 6?
7.
7, okay.
So they can knock that down considerably.
The injury with Scooble there, you think that's going to affect his start coming up in Cleveland?
Don't know. They don't expect it to. He's penciled in to start that game on Thursday, so we'll see.
Yeah, that was scary. Well, okay, perfect.
Yeah, didn't like that at all. But hey, thank you for the phone call, Jake. 248-539-9797.
Did not like that at all.
No. I was out and I saw Scooble standing on the mound, and I'm like, that's not Fetter and that's not Hinch. Wait a second. He's walking off. This is not good. And then I'm immediately on social media panicked.
Well, after you given up home runs too, he's not done. Like, something's wrong. And every time that I see something like that, like somebody that normally is great like that, and then he starts to get hit, I'm like, please don't get hurt. Don't tell me you're going to have to leave this game because of tightness or soreness. And sure enough, he did. Fortunately, it was not any elbow or shoulder, forearm, tricep, bicep, none of that stuff. Fortunately.
Just so people know, the actual update, the quote from AJ Hinch was the scan came back clean. So obviously that's great for us and great for him. And now we'll work towards his work this week. Will he start the next game? We're just going to go day by day, said AJ Hinch, and make the best decision we can. I don't have any more details and info until he does more. So that was Jeff Seidel's story updated over the weekend. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Mick, who's next on 97.1. Hi, Mick.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Y'all all right?
Yep.
My champ and chump goes to the same person, like the last caller. Champ and chump goes to Amon-Ra St. Brown. champ for scoring a touchdown. Chump for scaring the hell out of the fan base with the hamstring pull.
Yeah, that's not cool, Amon-Ra. We didn't enjoy that.
Yeah, you got to have a better touchdown celebration than that.
One that doesn't terrify the fan base. We'd appreciate that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you for phone call, Mick.
Love y'all show, man. Listen to you every day. I'm going to get in trouble because I listen to you on the job, too. I got to stop this.
See if we can work something out with the boss there. Yeah, don't want Mick getting in trouble. No. Appreciate it, buddy. Let's go to Wes next on 97.1. Hi, Wes.
Hi, how y'all doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I called in a few times. I just wanted to give my two different things. One is champ and chump, of course. There's not been a lot of mention about Goff is the champ, and man, he had a great day. Come on, guys.
Yes, he did.
Let's give it to Goff. It's the entire team, but Goff was great.
Yep.
The others, chump being the fans that yelled F. Ben Johnson, that is classless. But now back to your conversation earlier about giving up points, and I think you said last year they were 20.4 points. Mm-hmm. But if I recall, last year the Lions averaged over 34 points a game themselves. So I would look more at the point differential, and what would they rank last year in point differential?
I don't know what they ranked in point differential. Give me a second here. As far as,
I think they've got to be pretty good.
Yeah, I'm sure they were heavy plus.
Yeah, because that's like an average of like 13 and a half points, I think, if I had the numbers right.
The point differential was plus 222 last year, which was best in the NFL.
Yeah, there you go, see? So this giving up 21. Look, if you win by 31 points, you score 52 points and you're scoring like crazy, the other team is going to get the ball a lot of times.
Yeah, if you're looking
scoring just, fast.
You're right. Just look at the differential in the game. They outscored them 31-21 with a point differential.
Yeah.
And as a team last year, they scored 13 more points than they gave up last year on average. I mean, it's almost two touchdowns.
That's fantastic.
It's unheard of.
So I've got no sweat. You know, opening game against Green Bay, they weren't quite ready. You can give all the arguments, but the bottom line is, man, I can't wait till they play Green Bay again.
That's going to be fun. And like I said, this looks like it could be just a fist fight between two really good teams. And for people say hey, it's only one game that they've looked good. You know, it goes back to the last few years. The Lions have looked more like this team the last few years than the team that opened up the season at Green Bay. So if one is going to be maybe a one-off and extreme result, it feels like the Green Bay game is more likely the case. However, Green Bay looks really good. They look really, really good. But there's a lot of season to be played for both teams. 248-539-9797. All right, Red Wings debuted what their centennial uniforms look like. I want your thoughts on these coming up today. At 11:47, we'll tweet out a picture so people can see as well. Plus more of your champ and chump votes, open line calls, 97.1 The Ticket. Dan Campbell, offensive line play, much better. Back to your phone calls in a moment. Gator, the new Detroit Red Wings centennial uniforms have been released. The video that the Red Wings put out with the release, the dropping of the new sweaters is posted on our website. I'm sorry, it's been posted on our Twitter page, at DunGator971. Your thoughts?
I think they're fine.
It doesn't sound exactly like a rousing endorsement.
Well, I'm not going to go out and buy a jersey tomorrow. I'd love the Red Wing jersey as it is. This is fine. It doesn't wow me, but I don't find it offensive by any means.
I think
there's some cool little things they do are cool, like the little stitching that shows the years of the Stanley Cup championships and stuff like that. But it's all very subtle.
I think they're old-timey. I like that. They got this old-timey look to them.
Yeah, a lot of stripes.
Yeah. But they
arms.
Even what they have, too, it looks like faded. Like it's like these uniforms they found in the closet, and they're like, oh, we packed these away in 1951. Yeah, let's break them back out. But, I mean, teach their own. Judge for yourself. At DunGator9, someone go take a look. 248-539-9797. You know, I'm thinking about the whole F. Ben Johnson chant. I think it is misappropriated frustration and hatred. Because Ben Johnson didn't leave Detroit saying, it was all me, guys. He didn't say that. Ben Johnson didn't say, now that I'm gone, the Lions are going to struggle. He didn't say that. Other people said it. And when other people say that and say, hey, they're in trouble because of Ben Johnson, and after week one, there were a lot of national voices saying it. It's disrespectful to those who are still here, saying that they're not as big a part of this as they think they are, because they're not as important as we think they are. It was Ben Johnson was the key to their success, not Jared Goff, not Dan Campbell, not Amon-Ra St. Brown, not Penei Sewell, not Jahmyr Gibbs. Ben Johnson's the one that deserved the credit. So then when they go out and they hang 52 on Ben Johnson, people chanting F Ben Johnson, I think what they really kind of mean is F the people that said it was only Ben Johnson. That's where the frustration or perhaps those cheers should be directed at. Now, you're not going to say that. You're not going to say, F the people said it was all Ben Johnson. it doesn't, because there's no good cadence. So it gets shortened to F Ben Johnson. I think that's what it really is. And it comes out as F Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson, you know, people got all worked up about the idea that, you know, he said the quarterback gave us problems. You know his name. I think that's being a little petty to care that much about that.
I think it's different. I think it's the fans actually saying that because they mean it, and they mean it because he left the fold. And not just that he left the fold. It's one thing to leave, like Aaron Glenn left to take a head coaching job with the Jets. Everybody's like, hey, only 32 jobs like that in the NFL. Go ahead and take it. This guy left, and he could have had any job in the NFL, could have had a job with the Panthers, could have had a job with the Commanders. But he said no to those jobs. He came back and then left. When he did leave, it was to go to the Bears. That's why they're saying F Ben Johnson. Like you, right. That's the team you wanted to go to? Okay. You want to take us on twice a year? Here's what we got for you. Big old F you, which is what they literally chanted.
I understand that, but Ben Johnson also turned down one job and turned down an interview for another job that he might have been the favorite to get to stay here another year because he was trying to win a Super Bowl, which I think is actually kind of low-key awesome.
Right, but that wasn't the Bears.
Okay. 248-539-9797. Rob in Farmington Hills. Hi, Rob.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good. All right, Rob.
Awesome. First, Doug, I want to apologize. Last time I talked to you, I told you it was a weak ass take, but that was a few months ago.
I'm not mad about it.
I didn't think so, but I don't want to mention it. Both lines just played amazingly. I'm gonna champ them. I don't know if I can champ both, but I want to because they just completely turned everything around, especially the three interior guys from the beginning of the first game, and they looked terrible, and they. It looks like they just got it together. The communication thing seemed to be huge. And I want to chump the Minnesota Vikings for just coming out and showing a terrible game after they really dominated in the first week at the end of the game. So, that's kind of where I'm at.
Vikings were pretty bad. And, yeah, you giving love to the trenches. Look, the success that this team has had, and if you look at the resources that Brad Holmes has put into the trenches in the draft, you know, they clearly believe that that's the foundation for success, and they've done a nice job.
Yeah, they're just going to have to clean up those communication issues when they go to another hostile environment. What do you think they might do?
I don't know, but they're going to find out Monday. Right? I mean, you got to be better. They didn't lose a game on the road last year, right? They had veterans. They handled it. And then when they didn't have veterans, there was some miscommunication up at Green Bay. And so it's something that you can clearly get better at. Last year, they didn't have this kind of miscommunication. I suspect this is what time, experience, more games. The game log has to get longer, right? You've got guys who are just really getting their first taste in the middle of that offensive line. Not Glasgow, but the two guards. We need to add more games to see them grow. And that from week one to week two, it mattered. Home or road communications, obviously easier at home. So. Yes, it's a chance to prove that they have grown from that first experience.
It is. Absolutely it is. And I'm excited to see what happens when they continue to move on here. And the next game is not an easy game.
Nope.
You're playing on the road, which is always going to be tough. But, you know, another outdoor stadium. And it's against a very tough team in Baltimore.
You know what's really weird, too? It's weird how here we are 2 weeks into the season. What do we hear? Schedule's brutal, schedule's brutal, schedule's brutal. If they beat Baltimore, these are their next three games after Baltimore. Cleveland, is that a brutal game?
Not necessarily. Tough defense.
Yep. At Cincinnati, does that look different?
Looks totally different.
At Kansas City.
It's not going to be easy to win at Kansas City. I mean,
probably not.
They lost the Eagles, who won the Super Bowl, and this was a Super Bowl rematch, and it was, what, a one-score game?
But they are 0-2.
Yeah, but that's...
And look, if they were 2-0, it would look a lot tougher than it looks right now. Who knows what they're going to look like in a few weeks? Who knows what Cincinnati's going to look like without Joe Burrow? But that didn't help. I know Browning won the game. They are 2-0. But, I mean, we were dealing with people last week saying they're going to start 2-7? Didn't somebody say they were going to start 2-7, called up our show? Because if they lose to Chicago, they're going to lose to Baltimore. And I'm like, well, they beat Chicago. If they beat Baltimore, they'd be set up to have a pretty damn good start to the season. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Jake next on 97.1. Hi, Jake.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Long-time listener, first-time caller. My champ of the weekend is probably going to be the offensive line. I had a lot of doubts about them going into this week. I didn't think they'd fix it all in time, and they certainly proved me wrong. And my trump going to be a bit of a lighthearted trump, but I don't know if you guys were there, but the halftime, they inducted Robert Pershing into the Ring of Honor. And then towards the end of his speech, the mics gave out, and he didn't get to really finish it. So I got to trump the Ford Field mic crew on that one. It was just kind of ended at a weird spot, saying something like how he appreciated the booze, and then it was just silence. So really wish Pershing had gotten the chance to finish that thought.
Gary, did you see it? I know at halftime in the press box, there's a lot going on.
No, I actually, I was making my way down to meet some people, so I did not hear all that was going on. I heard like a loud cheer at one point, but I didn't follow it, unfortunately.
What? The vote is in. 248-539-9797. More of your phone calls and feedback coming up. People leaning into the Lions' success on this Monday. If you want to talk a little college football, Michigan State will take those calls. Tigers as well, as they are closing in on a division championship. Cleveland with a last gasp effort this week. They're probably thinking sweep. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.